PCR, Pro Cannabis Media.
And welcome back to the final half hour of Green Rush Live, our regularly scheduled Business of Cannabis talk show here at Pro Cannabis Media, now located in the world headquarters in Clinton, Massachusetts. I'm Jimmy Young, the founder of Pro Cannabis Media, and I'm joined this week again by Josh Kincaid, the host of the Talking Hedge out of Washington State, and someone who is going to MJ BizCon in a few weeks. And our two guests for the final half hour is Chris Ferrone from Dig Boston. He produces the Talking Joints Memo, and Tori Chamberlain, who is a news producer of Weed Talk News, I might add. And I believe she also anchored this week's Weed Talk News. So she is one of multi-talents, and we're so happy to have both of them on our program today. Chris, I'm going to start with you and ask you a direct question about a story that broke really a few weeks ago about an incident that happened back in January in a Trulieve factory. I know you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you how that all came about. How did, I think it was Mike Crawford who broke that story.
Yeah. I mean, Mike broke it, you know, for the Young Jerks, of course. So, you know, it was on a podcast, and fortunately Mike is, you know, also vocal. So he also like and active on social media. So, you know, there's this is obviously a huge scoop, but there's a lot of big stories that are said on podcasts, right? That, and Jimmy, we talk about this, that don't always get pulled out of the ether, right? Well, Mike made sure to drill this one home. And of course it turned out that it happened, you know, like literally nearly a year ago, 9 months earlier. And you know, Mike has, who of course worked with the Dig a lot over the years, does his diligence, you know, so, you know, had the receipts, as we like to say. And I got it, you know, listen, this one is so egregious. So I don't want to, if somebody died, right? This is a major deal. Of course there are, though, you know, where there's smoke, there's often fire, as we're seeing now in follow-up coverage by, you know, much bigger outlets than Mike's podcast. But you know, there's a lot of stories brewing like this. Hey man, I'm here reviewing joints these days. You know what I mean? My investigative muscle is largely in prisons and stuff like that on the Dig side. But this is intrepid reporting, however you look at it. And but you know, for any reporters out there looking to do this kind of digging, there's reports, and that's why things can happen a long time ago. And you know, OSHA reports and other regulatory and also even, you know, municipal correspondence. It takes some time for that stuff to be in the pipeline. And sure, if somebody had known about this story and not jumped on it, they could have gotten scooped. But it's also something that, you know, if you wait a little bit and if you know it's happening, it's something that you can, you know, really, you know, get the paperwork. CCC is awfully transparent, particularly for Massachusetts, which is not a transparent state. It's, you know, awful states are much more transparent. Like Florida has, you know, remarkable sunshine laws. Massachusetts, not so much, but cannabis is really well regulated. The fact that we can, you know, see sales numbers and stuff like that is, and I'll also go to add that, you know, I covered the alcohol, ABCC, the Alcohol Commission, for years. It was never like this. So this is really new. So my point is this, I am at least glad that, you know, you're going to look for some silver lining. It's that, first of all, the story was uncovered. Second of all, that there's, you know, that there's paperwork to follow up and that people are all over it. It's a huge national story.
Hey, I got to ask our local producer here. Tori, I got to ask, I don't know if this is true or not, but I know in your vocation, there usually is monitoring of the other stations. Did anybody in Boston run with this story at all?
A few actually. I want to give credit to NBC10's investigative team. Their new executive investigative producer, I believe her name's Kathy, and I'm blanking on her last name. I feel so bad. I'm sorry. But Kathy did some great work where she reached out to a lot of Lorna's family and loved ones and interviewed them and tried to get their side of the story, as well as I saw a screenshot of an email that she had sent to the Cannabis Control Commission requesting several documents. And the commission's response was something pursuant to, you know, Massachusetts current law, that there were certain documents they could not release about, particularly about what the commission was investigating about TrueLeave dating back to last fall. The commission says that pursuant to, you know, whatever this law is that they quoted in this response, that they could not release these documents because of the investigation being ongoing. So that's a tough spot to be as a journalist. I'll tell you guys, I haven't told anyone else this except for Mike Crawford, but I just got documents back for my own FOIA request that I sent to the Holyoke Police Department, and I have some records now in my possession. And it's just a matter of verifying things, verifying dates that have happened. The records I looked into were how many times an ambulance has been called to that facility since August of last year. I don't know that number off the top of my head, but it's certainly more than the two times it was called for Lorna McMurray. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. So it's just a tough spot to be as a journalist, because you can only get whatever information the law will get you and whatever people are willing to say. So
that's some really solid reporting, by the way. I just want to say all those FOIA angles, way to go. And I just want to clarify one thing I was saying before. When I was talking about basically the transparency of CCC, I just meant in general, compared to even other agencies in Massachusetts. Things like this, there's always going to be brick walls, but that's the beauty of having some, I mean, honestly, one of my issues with, like, again, this is an extreme situation, but one of my issues with just going after dispensaries, is that if we go through all paperwork, everybody's is a disaster. You know, I mean, if it's an absolute mess, but it's there and we can always look at it. So when something like this comes up, we're able to pull so much stuff. There's so much stuff already in existence. Who was involved, you know, whether reports or even just early application information, when you look at those early applications and, you know, it's like one set of names and then that set of names is gone and it's a whole different group of people. I mean, it's just, you know, there's alarm bells everywhere. So that's all I just wanted to clarify what I meant. There's just a lot of information. So we can always dig when something like this goes down.
Yeah. And we all know that once information gets out there, it does tend to take on a life of its own and even a direction of its own, let's just say, because we're all human and we all can look at the same fact and report it differently. That being said, I want to get Josh's opinion here, because he's out on the West Coast in Washington State, and now he's listening to two media people in Boston talking about a story that has gone national. I want to ask you right off the bat, Josh, did you know about this story about this TrueLeave employee who passed away?
Yes.
Okay. And how did you hear about it?
Well, it's always the thing where, like, nobody's ever died from cannabis. So, like, as soon as, like, some guy eats an edible and jumps off a roof and impales himself, it's like, see, I told you it was deadly.
Who was that wrote that stupid headline, by the way? Who's responsible for saying that this was a cannabis death?
I don't remember.
F them, whoever it was.
Chris, you know this, and Tori knows this. And Tori knows about teases, okay? The headline gets the attention. So it's designed to draw you in, whether it is whether that story supports the headline or not. That's the nature of the
Jimmy,
media.
That's why I'm sentenced to a lifetime of independent media.
Mm-hmm. Right. I get it. So are you writing your own headlines?
That drives me nuts. And I'm glad that you're outing. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, at least I understand it.
Him bringing up that, you know, that this was the story that we kept hearing. This was a cannabis death, right?
Right. So let's go back, of course, because the other media perhaps is not as enlightened as the people in this forum right now, okay, are looking for, not necessarily looking for reasons for the industry to fail, but every time that the industry stubs its toe, it's a lead story on the news. And I'm going to add this in, how many other workplace fatal deaths have happened in other industries that we just don't hear about?
But so if you remove the fatality of it, I think we see a lot of this. When I was up in Canada in Vancouver working for a company, and I'm going to out them, called Agrima Botanical. They're literally the only company that lost their license up in Canada. I was working with them on a fully automated joint rolling machine, and I'm looking at this package, whatever, and it's got a bag tag on it and whatever, but they're not supposed to be making stuff yet. Like 2.0 hadn't rolled out. You're not supposed to be making vape carts and all these 2.0 products. What do you, Interesting. Okay. And then you find out like they literally lost their license because they got slapped on the wrist. 6 months later, the agents came in and they found the same thing. They were literally like trying to sell this stuff. So all of the family and friends that invested in those companies, they were one of the first 15 companies to get an international license. The stupidity of it all is my point of this is that they lost all of it for greed and stupidity. And that is rampant in this industry. And eventually it can lead to death.
And, can I just ask, were they publicly traded?
They were.
Yeah, I think I lost a couple on that one myself.
I'd like to play devil's advocate for a second, Jimmy, if I can. I think I totally agree with everybody's point that there's safety issues across the board. No one's perfect. This is a new industry, all that. Here's what I think a lot of people are worried about is that companies like Trulieve that operate in 9 states, not just Massachusetts, that this process is potentially, I am not accusing anybody here. This is just this is rhetoric here. This is a potential situation. But Trulieve operates in 9 states. So I think what a lot of people are worried about is companies like this, the process of the investigation perhaps being treated differently than it may be for a family business out of Haverhill, you know, that doesn't have the capital and the support and the team that Trulieve has. That's what people are concerned about. It's not just slap on it's the principle of companies being treated differently when these issues come up. It's right. The principle of holding accountability to these companies and making sure that the big guys are treated the same as the little guys, because no matter how you want to spin it, even though people are making billions of dollars off this industry, there's always going to be a legacy community that is holding on to the values of this industry and will not let it go willfully to these large companies who are just doing whatever they want, because that's not what the roots of this industry, the community, the medicine of it come from. So I think that's what people's main concern is this process needs to be handled swiftly and justly now so that the precedent is set for the future.
Yeah, I want to add in that I don't think I'm disagreeing or agreeing with you. I think there's, I don't know where this fits in, but with this issue in particular, you know, I've toured, and I'm sure we all have, right? A lot of manufacturing, a lot of operations, and you know, the places that are proud to show me around, this does not seem like something that would happen there. It's just, you know, it's not the rolling room is never a place that is like, oh wow, everyone's so happy here. But it's not, you know, the ones, especially the last two I saw, are just not oppressive. You know, there's some space. Yeah. It's more of a science. This just, I don't know. So, and I don't know exactly what I haven't seen pictures of the Trulieve room, but all I'm going to say is we get, you know, complaints at the newspaper from about small operators as much as we do about the big ones. And I think when it comes to kind of having these systems, you know, that would prevent this kind of situation, I think, you know, if we're talking room and space and ventilation, you know, I don't know as far as when you talk about equal justice being meted out, I just wasn't sure exactly what you mean, because I think, you know, I guess it has to be when we're talking about life or death situation, like ventilation, everybody's got to be, I guess we agree, because everybody's got to be treated the same to some degree to make sure this happens. And I know we're talking about manufacturing here and cultivation, but I will say that, you know, for better or worse, and I really mean that, the CCC is not cracking down on everybody for everything. We all know that there's tons of dispensaries violating just tons, not of bad laws, I think, but just the basic ones, you know, menu-wise, accessibility-wise, where the stuff is. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but I would imagine we agree on the fact that we don't want the CCC running around shutting down mom-and-pop shops over little stuff.
Right.
This is a different situation.
Right. No, and they should know what they're doing, but it's at a snail's pace. The OSHA came to Washington State in 2015. So I was on a farm when they were there, and they were trying to learn about, you know, all the various processing and writing their own SOPs and trying to figure out the safety precautions. But they just haven't kept up to the scale and the speed, and they haven't dedicated those resources in order to really know what's going on. Like, you know, just like a lot of the hemp farmers that were harvesting in like 2018 or 2019, that like as they're harvesting, they're like, oh, hey, we need drying equipment. Like they're figuring it out on the fly too. And you can't expect the federal government to like be on top of it. Like they're going to be way behind.
Right. And if you're looking for drying equipment, Cannatrol is killing it in this market. You guys know, I know the Sandlemen, so I always plug them. And I was touring Van Garden, Chris, out in Leicester, Mass. Really state-of-the-art facility.
That's John Napoli's thing.
Right.
Props to John Napoli, legend of this industry. Before, John Napoli was getting in trouble for selling growing equipment in Roxbury. And for years, you know, the Hempist founder, just an absolute, it's great to see people like him kind of, you know, make the transfer over to you know, the cannabis industry and everything, but props to the Hempist and everything he's done for sure.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you guys a question, both media people here. And of course, Josh is now a host of a podcast that gets lots of great guests. So I recommend the Talking Hedge. You can find that on our YouTube channel as well. I want to ask you guys about the time, all of us on this show, I know, have heard these stories. And actually, there's one on this panel, if she'd like to share, she can. Cannabis has saved my life. Cannabis has changed my life. Some of these stories, the Stephen Mandilli story alone, Chris, in our own backyard, where his wife shared a joint with him at right before he was going to kill himself. And it changed his life. And then he becomes an advocate for PTSD treatment with cannabis, and testifying in Washington, D.C. on a somewhat regular basis for veteran access to cannabis. There are so many of those types of stories. Why do we have to, we have to cover it all as media. Media has to cover it all because they're storytellers, you're on the beat, and you want to share information with the public. And we're in a learning curve period of time in the development of this industry. Will we ever see balanced reporting? Every time that there's a perhaps negative story about this industry, can we balance it with a positive story? Because I know hundreds, if not thousands, of amazing, incredible survival stories of people who have used this product that has either saved, enhanced, or changed their lives.
I mean, I don't know if there's a question there, but will we ever see balance? I mean, it's kind
of balance.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the alternative media guy, so balance is baloney to me. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, but I've never sought it. And but I with cannabis, I've always equated it to, you know, I'm old enough now, I'm 42, that when I first moved here and became a reporter in Massachusetts, it's when same-sex marriage was on the ballot, and I covered that. And you know, that everything, you know, that was also in the national spotlight, of course. And, you know, I remember back then, the Globe, even the Boston Globe, you know, the mainstream as it gets, would quote like homophobe, crazy anti-gay people who would say that, like, that who in the newspaper, they would run quotes that said, you know, this will lead to animals having sex with people and stuff like that. And of course, now that's unthinkable. It's unthinkable that anybody really, and would quote that. Well, okay, so cannabis was 10 years behind, because folks, the Globe, which went and hired, had six weed reporters at one point, right? And of course I hate them, which goes without saying, right? When they had six weed reporters at one point, the year before had actually opined against the ballot initiative that got us recreational cannabis. And 5 years before that, or I'm sorry, right then, you know, at that juncture, they were actually quoting junk science. You know, they were quoting the kinds of people who, just get real quick, everybody can look up the legendary Keith Saunders article for us, where, you know, there's one of these prohibitionists, I forget his name, just some ass who used to show up everywhere. And he brought, you know, he had these two bags of gummies, and we stole them from the behind the podium at the event. And we brought them both to get tested. He was saying that one was one was medicated, one was not. One was abused, and how could a kid tell the difference? And neither was. He was full of it, of course. But my point is, guys like that were still being quoted, they still sometimes are. But I would say, as far as balance, I think at this point, I am the guy who just hates mainstream media. This is not something I even lose any sleep over anymore. There's great work even being done at, you know, television stations and everywhere. And as for the, As for the, you know, doing the individual, you know, saved my life stories, I think, you know, listen, this one will reach that person, that one will reach another person. I'm not against it. I'll say sometimes the reporting's a little shaky on that stuff. You know, we hear about, you know, cancer being, and we also saw, of course, a lot of like crossover with the anti-vax community and the cannabis community, the nut jobs in that realm during COVID. So I don't like to just, you know, write down everything everybody says about how this cured that and that cured this. But at the same time, I'd say, yo, we're not in the world we used to be. There's way more pro-cannabis coverage than anti. The only anti stuff I would say that I see a lot, because of course here's my plug for the newsletter. You know, we literally go through hundreds of articles to decide what ones we're going to share every week. And the only real, I'd say, prohibitionist stuff, and they don't even mean it like that, but that's what it is people really like to latch on to like a little bit of a study. And every week there's one that says, you know, cannabis weed makes your balls shrink. Weed does this, weed does that. And maybe we'll know someday, but the second line of the story is always, we don't know shit yet. So,
yeah. Tori, I got to get your feeling on this. Growing up in California and being part of that scene 10 years ago, is it balanced, any more balanced in California? Or I'm not talking about media coverage of the industry.
You know, I think Chris leads into a good point that I want to say. I think we're getting toward more balance, but I think true balanced coverage of this industry is going to take support on two different levels. First and foremost, from the government, they need to go ahead and deschedule the plant so that we can actually have real scientific coverage, right? Because, or scientific studies, because no one, just like Chris just said, at the end of the day, no one actually knows, because nothing can be peer reviewed, nothing can be checked over. So until the White House, TikTok, you've been given the green light, goes ahead and reschedules, or ideally deschedules the plant, then we can go ahead and start having real conversations about unbiased scientific information behind the plant and go from there. Yeah. I also think journalism on any level requires support from the consumers. And I give this tough love a little bit as a news producer. It's 2022. Nobody is going to hand you information on a silver platter ready to go anymore. You've got to sift through it. There's a F ton of information out there. It's oversaturation. So you have to be a critically thinking consumer when you're consuming information, when you're consuming media. You can't always just take it for surface level. So I think if people support people like, you know, Chris, myself, I think Grant Smith Ellis is another person who does a great job of like unbiased cannabis reporting, giving all angles of stuff. Supporting those people and their content will put those people in a position to give that balanced information, but I think it's going to require that support on both sides.
I got to get an opinion from Chris. We're almost up against it at this point. Real quick, Chris, how frustrating is it to someone who understands this plant like you do, and you cannot put any public service announcements in mainstream media? Is that frustrating?
Well, you're kidding, right? I love it. It's the only thing that we get that they don't. I mean, right now the big media and you know, Channel 4, 5, you name it, is gorging on campaign money. Right. We don't get a dollar of any of that. So, and I gotta say, Jimmy, not, you know, I'm only 42, but the people before me, my mentors, they had their offices raided. You know, the Dig is 25 years old this year. We've been covering cannabis the whole time. It hasn't always, we've had to change banks because of the amount of dispensary dollars that we take in. My point is, we deserve this. I could care less if the mainstream ever does it. They were against it for years, and they'll always get a piece of it. So there's plenty for them. There's plenty for everybody. But for now, this is keeping a lot of independent media going.
There you go. I get you. And I had a feeling that's what was going to come out of that too, which I appreciate. Hey, Chris and Tori, you two should have your own show. I'm just saying, okay? I thought you guys did a great job, and you have a tremendous insight on what's going on in the Boston market anyway, Massachusetts market. And I thought that this story with Trulieve would certainly be something that we should all talk about. And by the way, I saw Kim Rivers, their CEO, on Thursday in New York. And I did walk up to her And I did say, if you would like to make a statement, if you would like to come on my show and talk about what happened, you are welcome at any time. Now, did she say, oh yeah, I really want to come on? No, she did not. However, I did notice at the same time that corporate office released their official statement. And Tori, I know you added it into your news this week, which follows this particular live, really live talk show. So again, we're all in it together. We all know what I say. It really is one of the reasons why I love this saying. I love to close our broadcasts, our podcasts, our talk shows, whatever the hell you want to call these things, with the same. It is a whole new world of weed out there. We all need to learn about it. We're all in this together, trying to figure out what is going to happen with this plant that God put on this earth thousands of years ago for medicinal purposes. All right. That's going to be my last word, folks. So for Chris Ferrone and Tori Chamberlain and Josh Kincaid and Dan French, who directs this whole thing, and Isabel Turner out there in California helping us out as well. I'm Jimmy Young. I don't need to say it, do I? You know, use it responsibly, and we'll see you next week.
With that, we're going to roll this one up. I'm Josh Kincaid. This is The Talking Hedge. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe, or don't, and I'm out. Don't forget to smash that like button on your way out and check out these other videos that we've got.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Tune into a major journey podcast today, where guests take listeners on journeys and immerse themselves in the roller coaster ride both in and out of the cannabis space that brought them to where they are today. Throughout our conversations, guests share valuable lessons that they've learned along the way that listeners can use to empower growth both in their personal and professional lives. Check out A Major Journey today on all major podcast platforms.